Glad you're here.
Thank you. We'll do a roll call vote. Do you want to start us off, Angie?
Angie.
Our head.
Thank you. Ben Sanson.
Julie Rest.
Melanie Shockley.
Scott Aylett.
Landon Took.
Anyone from the public like to comment?
Nobody's here.
Seeing none, move on to approve the minutes from the April meeting. Feels like forever ago, but it was just a month ago. We had a follow-up conversation about some of the requests that we received from a patron on how to handle some sensitive topics within the collection. Had a great follow-up conversation with you all about that. Started reviewing some of the material reconsideration requests that we've received to get you guys kind of a heads up on those. Reviewed some changes to the library board bylaws just to help dictate how we operate in our board meetings. And answered some questions about reciprocal lending with other libraries and other communities and how that would look if we were to do something down the road with Springville and maybe some of the other smaller communities in the area. So it's kind of a recap of what we talked about last month. There are the minutes. Thanks, Becky, for doing those.
Today and the last minute.
It's all good. So.
I'll approve it.
Okay, first from.
I'll second it.
Second from.
Does it matter the spelling of my name?
Sorry?
Does it matter the spelling of my name?
Yes, I couldn't remember, so do it again.
No, sorry. It's Z-Y-L-A.
Oh, good catch.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
One L or two?
One L.
One L.
I can't see that far.
Yeah, we have two.
Neither can I.
Sorry.
No,
we're
fine.
Still friends, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's why I don't remember
something so like
that.
All in favor, vote yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. Upcoming events for June. Today is our busiest day of the year. Today, I woke up and it felt like Christmas. It was like Christmas at the library. We're always busier the day after a holiday, so we have all the traffic that maybe would have been here yesterday coming today, but then it's the first day of summer, right? So parents are gung-ho. My kids are going to read a bunch, so they come in. They're coming to sign up for summer reading and that type of thing. So today is our busiest day of the year, and it only gets busier from here on out as summer's in full force and whatnot. So we've got our Firefly Festival that we're doing this evening. I'm trying to celebrate kind of something that's unique, at least in Utah. There aren't a lot of communities that have fireflies. Next week, we start our summer slate of children's programs. So we've got Messy Mondays over at the park across the street, our traditional story times on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Thursdays, we've got Tween Takeover, where we let the 8 to 12 year olds come upstairs and they get to play the Switch and the Xbox and that type of thing.
Wow.
So
they
love it.
Oh,
really?
Can you get a little bit, Scott? Because I don't see the 28. Oh, there we go. Okay. I was like, I couldn't see the week.
Yeah. And we actually just bought another Switch and we're going to do some tween specific game nights downstairs with the Switch and whatnot. So, and then Fridays, we have rotating clubs. So one Friday is Pokemon, and then another Friday, I can't remember all the different clubs that kind of cycle through. But that's kind of our summer slate for programming. We've been having some issues with our website calendar. So we've got adult and teen stuff on here. If you want to see the children's stuff, go to the children's page, and they have a breakdown of all of our different activities going on over the course of the summer. And then, again, our end of summer party is going to be on Saturday, July 27th. It'll be after hours, so it's going to be a camp out type theme, and we'll have s'mores and other activities and that type of thing. So if you're available, we'd love to have your guys' help run some of the different activities. We're testing something new. Usually we do it during hours. And usually it's on a Monday, and we've got to have a lot of staff here because we get all of the patronage plus everyone coming in for the program, and it's just crazy. So we're going to try doing it after hours and see how that goes.
So I get five?
So yeah, we close at 5, so it'll probably start just right as we close. Yeah, so that's kind of a summary of what we've got going on for the next month or so for activities. We do programs all the way up through the last week of July, and then our children's staff, they don't do programs the month of August because they're getting ready for their fall program slate. And we don't do programs the week of yesterday's because we're competing for parking with the carnival, and there's already so much going on that we just do a pause on programs that week. Okay. Any questions on any upcoming events? Okay. I've received 2 material reconsideration requests in the last month. One I'm still reviewing, and we'll talk about that one next month. The other one that I received is for...
Serious?
Well, and let me give you a caveat. The request isn't to remove the item from the collection. It's that in some of our items, we do our LGBTQ sticker. So they've just requested that we put the sticker on the
bottom.
Okay.
I was like, so, what
does
it say?
I know,
me too.
Like, oh, no. So if you know, this is a very popular series for the tweens, and in book 13, they introduce the protagonist as LGBTQ, but there's nothing that's, I don't want to say graphic or anything, it's just she refers to her girlfriend, right? So this was a pretty easy, I don't know.
That's an easy thing,
so, right? Okay, yeah. It was a softball, right? Well, yeah. You just put a sticker on the book, and so that was a pretty easy one, but thought I'd still review it with you guys. We have a number of copies of this book, and so we'll just have to wait until they come through, and as they come through, we'll put the sticker inside the book. And as you guys know, we had talked about doing the sticker on the inside cover moving forward so that it's not as obvious on the outside, but still available. Any questions about that?
Do you want us to review books too? Like you said, you're going through it. Do you want us as a board to go through, like read books too? Or is that just what you do?
So if it gets petitioned to you guys, then I'll come to you and say, here's one that I made a determination on. This is what I thought. And now you guys get to review it and come up with what you think we should do. We haven't had any get to that point. The other book that we have, I'm still reading it, but it's another junior chapter book. It's called The Stars Beneath Our Feet. Do you know that one? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't one that they requested that we remove. It was the content's kind of heavy. And so should we look at moving it to an older age group? To give you some context, the book is about a 12-year-old boy that lives in Harlem, and his older brother was just killed in a gang-related drug incident. And he's coping with the loss of his brother. He's 12 years old. And so that's one of the themes that's kind of heavy. The other theme is that his parents are divorced. His mom now has a girlfriend. And so there's that twist or kind of component to the story. But the mom's girlfriend brings him these big bags full of Legos. And the kid now is an escape from the reality that he's trying to cope with, builds his own community out of Legos, right? And that's how he copes with the loss of his brother. So I get there's some heavy themes in there, and that's why I'm reading it, to get a sense of overall, is this something that's appropriate for 12-year-olds? Do we move it to a 13-year-old? If you move it to 13, does it circulate less? Because the 13-year-old, you always want to read up, right? Like as an audience, typically kids, especially, want to read higher than maybe where they are because it makes them feel more mature and grown up and that type of thing. So if you put a book about a 12-year-old with a 13-year-old, it'd probably circulate less. Anyways, that not maybe the reason why we'd make a decision one way or another, but I'll look at it and we'll talk about it next month. But I'm about halfway done with it.
And I feel like that book's on a lot of reading lists.
It checks out pretty regularly.
I started explaining, I was like, wait, I've read that synopsis thinking I should get that for my daughter, and then thought maybe we're going to wait on that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I feel like that, I don't know about circulation only because I've seen it as a parent on a lot of, like, books for tweens or whatever lists all over the internet.
Yeah, and I heard that it's being made into a film. I haven't verified that, but that's what I was told by one of my employees, so that will renew. It already circulates pretty well, but anyways. So we'll talk a little bit more about that one next month. Okay, so the library has a strategic plan that we operate on. It's a 3-year plan. It was last updated in 2022. So our current plan will expire at the end of this year, and probably later this year I'll start working on developing a new 2025 through 2027 strategic plan. We're required to review this annually with the board and reapprove it, just so that it's on the forefront of my mind and your mind as to what are the things that we're working towards accomplishing in the library. Obviously, the last several years, it was heavy on getting ready for the new building, right? A lot of our goals and objectives were focused on the new building, and now we're here. And so it's now learning and adjusting to the space that we're in. So I've updated the mission statement to reflect our mission statement that was recently adopted citywide. The city's mission is that we strive to build and maintain a vibrant city through personal community interactions and innovative local government services. The library's mission statement is the same. We just swap out local government services for library services. So every city department is working towards the same thing. And so some of the goals and objectives in the far right column, 2024, this is where I've got our updated goals. Based off of the different objective areas. The state requires that we have goals for facilities, collections, programs, technology, collections. I already said collections. What's the other one? Services. So we'll just do a quick review of what we accomplished or worked towards in 2023 and what our goals are for 2024. So in 2023, again, we moved into the building, so a lot of it was focused on promoting Library Hall and the features that we have and that type of thing, and it was just a phenomenal year for us. This year, we really want to work towards optimizing the space now that we're here and we learn how it's being used. And one thing that I think is important for us, as many of you probably do at, on a personal level, is you got to have like your spring cleaning, right? And I don't want us to just get used to having extra storage and starting to accumulate things that don't get used. So we're going to have an annual cleaning day that we'll do annually on Veterans Day, and we'll close to the public and we'll use that day as staff to declutter, clean, that type of thing. We did that for the last few years in the old building, really trying to declutter so we had less stuff to move, and now it's just maintaining an organized space and building. To help us better utilize some of our spaces, now that we're in here, we've recognized that our children's program room is wider than it is deep, and so it kind of limits some of the programs that we can do in there. So we're adding a second projector and screen in that room, so that, because right now the projector is on this wall, but the room is long this way. So if you're back here, you can't really see what's being projected. So we're going to add another projector here so that we can better use that space for larger programs. And we've made a lot of adjustments to our furniture as we've moved in. We've recognized that we didn't have enough tables for patrons to use, so we've ordered some more tables and we've added furniture in different spaces to better facilitate and make spaces available for what people want to do and use in the library. And we'll continue to do that, because what good is a chair if no one ever sits on it, right? So one thing that we recently added, I don't know if you've noticed, on the windows by the teen section, we've moved kind of those high wing back pink chairs over there, and just last week we got some tables delivered, and so now we've got a bunch of booths over there. It draws more of the adults who were wanting to use the teen booths over there, so now they have kind of a nice quiet space to use, but has provided a bunch more surface area for people who come here to study or work or do other things. So that's kind of an example of how we've tried to adjust now that we're in the building. And then another space that we'll begin promoting here shortly is the sound recording room in the teen area. We finally got all the training materials completed through SF17, so we're going to get staff trained, and then we'll open it up to the public where they can reserve that room and they can come in and record a podcast or other vocal type things. You can bring in an instrument and plug it in and record and do all that type of stuff in that sound booth. So, and then we haven't really promoted the Heritage Room a lot, and we'll start to promote that more now that we've got a year under our belt of how the space gets used, some of the issues that we have, and really start promoting that so that it gets used more by the public. In terms of collections, We have an objective to make the collections more user-friendly by encouraging browsing. I talked a little bit about those bins in the children's department, right, that circulate at such a high rate. So we'll continue to evaluate the circulation of picture books in the children's section. And even some of our early readers, the green, blue, and orange level books, right? And we may start putting those in bins as well, just because it causes them to circulate at a higher rate. Because browsing and seeing things on display helps with circulation. Yeah. And I think part of that also is adding this new adult collection that we've talked about, and we're still in the process of identifying what will go there, but I think that helps develop a collection that's diverse and meets the needs of our patrons. Offer a balanced and diverse collection of print and digital materials. We continue to see a decline in the circulation of DVDs and Blu-ray and physical audiobooks. And so we'll slowly, over the next few years, continue to weed those out. We buy fewer and fewer of those every single year, and divert some of those resources and funds to buy other collections, one of which that we're applying for a grant. And I'd love to get your guys' feedback. I have it on the agenda, but we can talk about it here as well, is we'd like to start circulating video games. So Springville, Orem, Provo, Santaquin, and Payson, pretty much all of our neighbors except for Salem, circulate video games. And if you think about it, when I was a kid, there was Blockbuster, right? You could go pick up a game and ride the grocery store as well, right? That doesn't exist anymore, right? And we regularly get asked by our patrons, have you guys considered getting video games? You can get them at all these other libraries. And so we'd like to give it a shot. And speaking with some of these other libraries, they say that their video games circulate at the same rate as their graphic novels. And graphic novels just fly off the shelf, right? Which makes sense, right? If you're a family and you have video games, dropping $50 for every game gets pretty cost prohibitive, right? So we're going to apply for a grant and see if we can get the state to fund the initial creation of this collection, and then we'll just maintain it moving forward.
Do you have it up here in the teen collection? Or?
Yeah, we'll put it, if we do it, we'll put it over in the AV section, so by the DVDs and that type of thing. What we've learned from other libraries is they don't put, obviously, the game in the case, because especially Switch games, they're so tiny. And so we'll keep those all behind the shelf. You bring the case to the front desk, we'll give you the game, and you're on your way. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on, I guess it's non-traditional, right? But I think maybe when libraries added VHS way back in the day and then DVDs, maybe that had been perceived as non-traditional, right? A library having that type of media, but any concerns with
makes sense.
Going that way?
Makes sense. I think we're supposed to provide services our community wants. They want to rent video games.
So. Yeah, and these other libraries, they're really heavy on the Switch side, because in terms of hardware for Xbox and PlayStation, not every Xbox or PlayStation has a disk drive, so some of them are only downloadable content. So if I have a disk here, not everyone can check it out, whereas Nintendo, everyone can use the little card. So and they say that the Nintendo games circulate much higher than any of their other video game collections. So but if we can get it funded through the state, and then we'll slowly start, you know, moving some of that DVD budget that was spent on DVD to maintaining that collection, but also pushing more of that over towards Overdrive and Libby and helping build that collection, because that continues to be high demand.
How does that work, like the Overdrive Libby collection? You've probably told us before, but like, do you choose how many copies we get of the book? Or you just buy like a subscription?
So because we're part of the Utah State Library Consortium, what happens is, in order to be in that, we've got to commit every single year a certain number of dollars towards funding that collection. Okay. So we pay, our annual budget for Overdrive is about, I think, $27,000. $10,000 of that we send to the state, and the state uses that to buy copies that are available to all public libraries that are part of the consortium. So we don't have any control over how that $10,000 is spent, but that's our buy-in to getting all the other materials. The other 10, well, for us, 17 that we maintain, we develop our collections. But we try to focus mostly on fulfilling holds, requests, and queues. So if we have an audiobook that's got 20 people on hold for it, we'll go and try and buy additional copies to meet that holds request. Whereas the state really focuses on buying new content.
Oh, interesting. So when you buy a copy, like of an audiobook, does it go into the state's bucket for everyone, for like people in Sandy and people everywhere?
Some of them, yeah. It depends on...
It's not like the, just for Spanish form.
Yeah, it depends on the publisher's restrictions that they put on it. Some of the stuff we buy, only we get. So
you have to get it through Libby, but it's only for Spanish.
It's only for Spanish Fork. And so we really try to buy as much as we can that's available to everyone, because we want to be a good player.
And
we want them to do the same, right? So, yeah.
I was always wondering.
Well, that's kind of how that works. Okay. Services, increase awareness of programs and services. One thing that we've been wanting to do and just haven't been able to dedicate the time and resources to do it is to launch a library, start doing email campaigns. So do a library newsletter, do email blasts for programs and that type of a thing. So we're going to continue to work on that this upcoming year. The biggest struggle is just having staff that have time to go and develop that type of thing. To have a good newsletter, it's got to take time, right? So I'd like to do that this year. I love some of the conversations that we've had in this group about how do we work with partners in the Hispanic community to help them be aware of what the library provides and how the library is different here than it maybe is in their native land, and get them participating in using library sources. So I'd love to work on that this upcoming year with you all, Azealia, and others in the community. And then in terms of increasing awareness and programs and services, right now the library maintains a website and we maintain the catalog. We'd like this year to investigate merging those two and have it be just one site. So you go to the catalog and it's got all of our website materials and content. If we do it that way, then as you search for an item, it's also searching your website. So if you were to search like early literacy or whatever, it'll give you all the early literacy book results, but then it'll give you information about early literacy programs and services that the library provides, all within the same search result, right? So we feel like we'll be able to better promote what the library does, because people aren't having to go to a website as well as the catalog to learn about the library. Programs are huge for us. We're always trying to provide programs that are relevant to our community. One area that we've really struggled in the last few years is teen services, because we're spending more time on collection development for teens. There's higher demand for teen programs because more of them are coming to the building. And my one full-time employee in that department's just had a really hard time trying to keep up with the demand. So we've recently moved one of our children's program coordinators over to the teen services division as our first program coordinator for teens. And she'll kind of take the lead on organizing after-school programs and activities for teenagers. So I think that will help provide programs that are relevant for that age. And then we recently started partnering with Project READ and United Way to do computer literacy classes at the library. So they come in and they take a bunch of our Chromebooks and they teach, it's primarily seniors, but others, how do you use a computer? How do you browse the internet? How do you do just basic computer skills that, where else are they going to learn it other than from maybe their grandkid or whatever, right? So, and I think this could be one that, as, say, the rec center is completed and that type of thing, we could do offsite programming and go to the rec center, to the senior center there, and offer the same type of program through the library. And then facilitate literacy through the community. This was a great idea that our children's librarian had, as we discussed it the other day. The Rotary Club, I think, has sponsored one or two like community libraries in neighborhoods, right? The little box on someone's park strip that you can come pick up a book and whatnot. Well, we have items that get discarded, donations that we don't add to the collection, and those types of things that if they don't sell in our book sale, we just donate them to a bunch of different organizations. If we could get them back out into the community, we would love that. So we're going to, this year, start reaching out to some of these organizations to see, hey, do you guys, you know, if it's monthly or quarterly, do you want to come in and you can come take up to X number of items from our discards to use to fill your little community library? It helps promote the library because many of those materials will have our barcode on sticker on there, and it helps get the word out about the library. And an idea that we got from another library at a conference was they do this with local pediatricians' offices. So they'll take their discards to the doctor's office and put them in the lobby. Again, it's got the library sticker right on there. And so it's promoting the library, but also if the parent wants to take that book from the lobby and take it home with their kid, great. The doctor's office got it free from the library anyways, right? Let's help promote literacy that way. So we're going to really try and help kind of focus on this project this upcoming year to help facilitate that through the community. Technology, make administrative processes more efficient. One thing that we've started working on now is, so our clerk position is kind of our jack of all trades. They work the desk downstairs, they work all the desks upstairs, they work in the back, they process the materials, they repair books, they run the sorter, they answer phone calls, they kind of do everything. And what I've noticed in my time here, that in the old building, when we had like two places where you could work, it was less onerous to try and remember and get trained on all that. But now when I've got seven or eight different stations that have unique needs and just increased patronage, it's really hard when you only work a couple hours at this desk every single week to really refine that skill set. And so what we're going to start doing this fall, we're kind of doing a test run right now, but our plan in the fall is to have all of our existing clerks specialize into one of four different areas, and they will work exclusively in that area. And they can then become masters of adult services or teen services or repairing and processing materials in the back, getting a book jacket on there just right. You know, right, Becky? It's hard, and if you only do it for 2 hours a week, it's really hard to really get good at it. So we're going to have them all specialize, and then we'll have opportunities for cross-training on Saturdays and that type of thing, but then I feel like we'll have experts in their area. It'll also help my supervisor right now for our clerks manages 20-plus part-time people, and even though they're part-time, it's still a lot of scheduling and performance reviews and hiring. It's really hard to manage that. By separating them out, I'll have smaller, more manageable teams, and it provides my adult and my teen service librarians an opportunity to get management experience and have their own team to manage. So I think it'll make us more efficient, and I think, though some of the staff are having a hard time buying into it, I think with time they'll appreciate and recognize that there's value in being able to hone my craft. Yes, it means I only work at this one desk now, but I'm better at it, and I think they'll be able to contribute better than they have in the last little while. So it's kind of our big push. I put it under technology because that's where we talk about being more efficient, even though that's not necessarily technology related. And then that same grant that we're applying for the video games, we're going to apply to create a digitization station at the library. So Salem has one. Essentially what it is, it's a setup where there's a VHS to DVD converter. You can bring in camcorder tapes. There's a couple different photo scanners, so like a flat scanner for large items, but then a scanner that you could throw in a stack of, you know, 20, 30, 40 printed photos, and it'll scan them all. You don't have to do one at a time.
I could use that.
Right?
I really could.
So Paige
was telling me that the genealogy library does it in Salt Lake, and I needed to schedule an appointment this summer. I was like,
I don't want to drive all the way up
so
there.
Thank you.
So creating that here that patrons can kind of take control of their own history and their family history, and being able to digitize all of that here at a local level. So we're going to apply for a grant. We're pretty confident we can get it. Salem funded theirs completely through a grant, so we're going to just try and duplicate what they did and see if we can get it. But that's a great, I think, new technology that we'll have hopefully available to patrons in this next year. So those are kind of our goals for this upcoming year. As we look at our 2025 strategic plan, we'll do a lot of public input from our residents and patrons to say, what is it that you want us to accomplish, right? Historically, our strategic plan has been very staff and board focused, us coming up with goals. And we want to know from the patron, what is it that you expect from the library, and how can we do that? So it'll be kind of a new strategic
plan. People are coming now that you got the new buildings.
Oh, yeah. It just
could be great.
Yeah. Keep getting input from them. And we can't do everything, but it helps to have a pulse on what the residents want. Yeah. Any questions or thoughts, ideas?
Yeah, I have a thought.
Yeah.
Up above with the programs,
uh-huh.
where your mouse is blinking, or it was, I guess it's gone now, but where you said about they can come in and learn the computer literacy
uh-huh.
right there. I think with their cell phones, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of older people, my parents included, are like, how do I do this? How do I do that?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That could be good.
Come learn that handheld device.
Teams know these things really well.
They know them so well.
Have them teach it.
Right.
That would be great.
That's yeah. a great idea.
Just maybe that too.
I yeah.
would be really good.
Computer and cell phone. Mobile device.
Especially with scams. Mm-hmm. My mom got scammed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's no other comment, we do need to approve. So I'm going to take this off to approve the 2022-2024 strategic plan. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the plan. First from Melanie. Second from Zelia. All in favor, vote.
Yes.
Any opposed? Great. Alrighty. We talked already about those grant applications. So again, the video game one, and then the digital conversion station. We're also looking at possibly applying for another one to get some display cabinets in the library to help promote the Historic Commission's like efforts in doing the different lecture series in the community and that type of thing. That may be one that we hold off on. We'll see. But, and then we'd still like to expand and build our Library of Things collection. Ben has sent some really great examples of things that we could add there. So we'll have that kind of on the back burner and see if we can get these up and running, and then next year apply for another grant to expand. Well, we've had some time to really think through, okay, how would we circulate a drill, or how would we circulate these other types of things. Cooking materials, that's one that we get people asking a lot about, and our question is, how do we make sure they're clean?
I know, that's so true.
Someone brings back a dirty
Instant Pot. Or
yeah.
Springville.
I think Springville has some, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing that we're going to include in our grant this year is Lehigh. They've added to their collection take-home radon kits. There's a community member whose wife got lung cancer from radon, and so he donated four or five take-home kits that are digital. You don't have to send the little packet to the lab and get your results. So you just come to the library, pick up your kit, take it home, do the reading, get your data, and then bring it back. So we think that's great, right, to help promote health and well-being within the community, and for those that maybe won't go through the effort of sending it to a lab and that type of thing, they can just come get it from the library. So, okay. Last thing I have, thank you for all of you working at getting donations. We'll take anything up until whenever you've got it. So if you're still tracking down some loose ends here and there, we'll take it. We appreciate it. Our patrons love getting awesome prizes for summer reading. So it's, as long as you guys can bring stuff in, we'll get it into someone's hands for participating in summer reading. So, and if you haven't signed up for summer reading yet, you can sign up.
Did you do it on Beanstack?
You can do it on Beanstack,
okay,
yeah.
It was like last night, I was like, oh, I haven't signed up.
I'm going to sign up for
that's
that.
That's so fun.
Yeah. That's all I have. Do you guys have anything, questions, things you guys want to talk about? Cool. Nope, nothing? Okay. Then a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion that.
Yeah. Angie first, second by Landon. All in favor?
Yes.
Adjourn at 5:41.